Ephesians chapter 2. I am so thankful that God He gives us what we need in the hour that we need it. Just this week, I've been praying about what to preach on this morning because this is a special service. Usually Sunday mornings are more people come to a Sunday morning service than they do an evening or a Wednesday night service. So there's more about the gospel that's in a Sunday morning service. And the Lord brought me to this passage. I was witnessing to somebody this week at a door, and she had mentioned to me that I asked her, I said, "Ma'am, do you know if you died today, you go to heaven without a shadow of a doubt?" And she said, "I'm working on it." And I said, "Are you working on your salvation?" And she said, "Yes, because nobody can know for sure if they die today, they go to heaven." And I said, "Ma'am, the Bible teaches us that God has given to us an assurance through His scriptures that we can know for sure today if we die, we would go to heaven." And she was just founded, and really it looked like a dumbfounded look on her face when I told her that. And she said, "There is no way possible that you can know for sure." And I said, "Ma'am, there is a way. And that way is through the Bible. And God has given to us this love letter from Genesis to Revelation that we may know Him. We may know Him. That we may know Him in the power of His resurrection. God has given to us this Bible that we may dive into it, that we may know Him personally as our personal Savior." There's many false religions out there that are teaching that we can work our salvations by faith plus works. Many false religions are teaching that. Our salvation's by faith plus something else. The Bible does not teach that. Actually, in the passage of Scripture, we're going to find out today that the Bible does not teach that. And I said, "Ma'am, I could show you from the Scriptures today that if you died, you'd go to heaven without a doubt of in your mind that you can have that rest assurance in your heart." And while you're able to give the and share the gospel with her and tell her about the Lord Jesus Christ, and come to find out, this is interesting. I'm going to preach a message tonight upon, you know, I'm telling you, God just worked this all out. And she said, "You know what? I have confessed my sins and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ." I said, "Ma'am, what happened? Why do you believe that you can't die and go to heaven then?" She said, "Well, I've been going to this church. I believe in what this preacher has been preaching." I said, "Have they been preaching the scriptures?" She said, "No." I said, "That's where it started." I bet you I could tell you the time that this decay in your life that started was the time that you stopped reading the scriptures for yourself and stopped looking in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in the trespasses and in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, and for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved. And hath risen us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." There's a song, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." If you see this word "saved" is written twice in verse 5, "saved." Verse 8, "saved." I want to preach to you a message. Our salvation. Our salvation. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Lord, I know it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, the joints of marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and the tents of the heart. And Father, I know, Lord, where you have been working on my heart There may be somebody in here today that is wrestling with the fact if they're saved or not. Also wrestling in the fact of this false philosophy that we must work our way into heaven. Lord, I pray today by the power of the Holy Spirit of God that you'll work in the hearts and lives of your people. Lord, I pray that you'll remove me, hide me behind the cross, and as we lift up you, you will draw all men unto yourself. Lord, help us this hour, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Paul is teaching here to the Ephesians, and it's actually a continuation of what Paul said in chapter 1. In chapter 1, Paul was teaching about how our salvation came to pass. How we even got the place where we need salvation. And not only that, how God provided for that salvation that he has given to us. See, mankind is lost. Mankind is born in this world, have a nature that is in the wrath of God and that is against God. And by themselves, they cannot raise themselves up. They cannot go to heaven by their own works. We find that here in the scripture, that we can't work our way into heaven. We can't possibly, in our own merit, our own might, whatever we do, we cannot make ourselves or get us to the place that we get accepted in God's eyes, to the place that we get to go to heaven because of our works, because of what we do. They say it's faith by grace plus something else. The Bible teaches it's faith by grace alone. There is nothing else that has to add to our salvation than confessing our sins and putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. If there was a way, God would have provided that way. But he provided it through his Son in the Lord Jesus Christ that came, was born of a virgin. In Matthew and Mark and Luke claims that he was born in the virgin, a virgin, and was born into this world of the Holy Ghost, and God conceived in Mary and put the seed of the child of Jesus Christ in Mary, and she was born of a virgin knowing no man, the Bible says, and he was born in this world perfect, sinless. He had human flesh, but he did not have the human nature that we are born in this world. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, I gotta just turn to the passage of scripture. It says, now we were dead with Christ, we believe that he shall also live. Talking about how we are dead in Christ. It says, when sin passed upon one man, sin passed upon every man. We are born in this world as sinners. I don't have to come and teach my son how to disobey me. I don't have to teach my son to smack my wife or to beat up on my wife. I don't have to teach my son to look at me and he does something after I tell him to do it. That's straight defiance, and they need a whipping for that. I'm telling you, the wrath of God or the whipping of dad will bring that out of them. I promise you that. It'll straighten them up. The Bible says, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. And that chastisement brings him to that fear. And one day he'll get to the place to where he doesn't fear daddy anymore. He fears God, because that's what we are doing and teaching our son, to fear God. Not just fear us and to listen to us, but to put into his natural body now that he'll fear God later. That's what the chastisement is in the scriptures. God chastens us in Hebrews chapter 12. If you study the book of Hebrews chapter 12, he teaches us that he chastened us. He brings us back to him when we sin against him. But the Bible does not teach that we can work our way into heaven. The Bible teaches by faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ alone. Nothing more or nothing less. The first point, our salvation's by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That word grace means it's not upon our merit. There's a special word for it. It is undeserving favor or his unmerited love. Parker said this in his book, the grace of God is undeserving favor, his unmerited love. It is something that God gives us to enable us to do what he has, or what we did not in any way earn, deserve, or merit. It is God's grace that he has sent his son into this world to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. What we deserve is to die and go to hell forever, separated from God the Father, because we've sinned against him. But because of His grace, His unmerited favor towards us, He's provided His Son, Jesus Christ, to come in this world and be the propitiation. The Bible says in chapter 1 and in John, 1 John chapter 2, the word propitiation is the perfect atoning sacrifice. It said on the cross, Jesus said Himself, it is finished. Salvation was secured. Salvation, there's security, there's an assurance of salvation. When Jesus said, it is finished. What was finished? The redemption was finished. There was no more that we had to worry about if we were going to die and go to heaven. There's no more we have to walk around here saying, my good works is going to get me into heaven. No matter what I do, cannot get into the favor of God, because God already loved mankind. For God so loved the world. That word world is three times in the Bible. It uses the world. God says in 1 John, says, love not the world. That world is the cosmos. It's talking about the world system. It says it twice. Love not the world, either the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That world is the cosmos. It is the world that it's talking about, the world system, the godless system that's in this world. And first in John chapter 3, that's not the same word, world. That world is people. For God so loved people. For God so loved you and I that He gave His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. It was not by our own works, it's not by our own merits, not by our own might, but what Christ has done on Calvary's cross. Our salvation's by grace. It's unmerited favor. We deserve. You know, we walk around here. This is our human reasoning. This is how we think, our own minds. If this person did this, he deserves this. I was read a story about a man that committed a whole bunch of, if we say, against the law. He killed somebody. He robbed people. He cheated on his wife. He done everything in the book that you could think of. And they gave him, because of the murders that he committed, they gave him a sentence, and that sentence was to die. He was gonna die because of what he did. The death penalty. He got the death penalty for what he did. For what he did. While 3 days before he went to his sentence was brought out to the death penalty, a man came and told him about Jesus Christ. And if the story is correct, the story that I read, if the story is correct, if it's a real story that I read, he said the man bowed his head. He couldn't understand that God would forgive him. But from the scriptures of teaching how grace, how it's because our salvation is by the grace of God, not by our own merit, not by what we deserve, but God loved us. He bowed his head and confessed his sins and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You and I would sit there and say, well, he deserves to die for what he's done. But God's mercy, God's grace, that unmerited favor on this man, he's sitting in heaven today because of God's grace. That's the way we think. That's the way we reason in our own minds. Well, if they do something good, they deserve something good. But if they do something bad, they deserve something bad. You know what we really deserve? It's not to go to heaven. It's not to die and have eternal life. It's to die and go to hell because of our sin against God. You know, it was our sin that put Christ on the cross in the first place. What we committed against God, it's in our very nature. The Bible teaches that we are, you know why a person sins? It's because their very nature is bent towards sinning. That life has to be renewed. You remember in the scriptures where it teaches in the verse part that he hath thee quickened. That word quickened means to make alive. He has made alive who were dead in their trespasses and sins. We were once dead to God's mercy, to God's grace. We were once dead and on our way to hell, but God's mercy and His grace brought us into the place where we were no more dead. But He hath quickened, who made alive, where in times past walked according to the course of this world. That's what our walk was. That's what our life was. Before we confessed our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not only were we dead, but we walked in this world because we lived in this world, because we were of this world. That's what this Bible, Paul is teaching them. You were this way at one time. You were, by God's grace, saved because He loved you. Look in verse 5. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together in Christ. Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great what? What does the Bible say? Love. Love. You know why God gave us salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he loved us. He loves us so much that he provides a way to himself. I was thinking about this week. I was talking, I think it was Christian Bateman. I can't remember who it was. But I was talking to somebody this week, and I was just telling them and just showing them something that the Bible teaches. You know, before I got saved, God had sought me out. God sent a soul winner into my life, and he taught me the scriptures. He went to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, which I already knew that. For the wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he went to Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin. What I earn because of my sin is to die and go to hell. But he taught me that little word, but God's gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Do you see that word, but, here in our scriptures? You see in the verse 3 verses, it's talking about our old nature. But then what does it say in verse 4? But God, who is rich in mercy. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary's cross. That was God's unmerited favor to us because he loved us. Our salvation is number one, by the grace of God. Let me read the scriptures again. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Salvation is number two, a gift from God. Our salvation number two is a gift from God. It was God's perfect gift. Not only his grace, not only his unfair favor to us, but he gifted to us the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul taught this in Romans. In Romans, he explained it quite well about the gift of our salvation. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. That is a gift. God gave us a gift. But not only is that gift given to us, that gift is free. In Romans chapter 5, verse 18, it says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, where is by one man, Jesus Christ. That gift was free to us. That gift is not being able to purchase. We don't have to purchase it. There was a Pharisee that thought, or in the book of Acts, there was a Pharisee that thought that he could buy the power of the Holy Spirit on his life. Jesus said it's a free gift. Paul said it's a free gift. God gives this to us. I think about a gift, and I was talking to my wife last night, and I said, what is it called when I give you a gift and I take it back from you? She said, it's called an Indian giver. I was like, so God is an Indian giver. She said, no. You know what that Bible teaches? That not only is the gift of God, but that gives us eternal security. Because his gift that he gave to the world was Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ could have sent 10 legions of angels while he was on the cross to take him down from that cross. But it was his free gift upon his own self to give us eternal life. It is the gift of God. It is God's gift. God has given to us a free gift. And that gift is eternal life. What more do we need? What more do we really want? We have everything in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a statement by a man that said this, you'll have all of God at the moment of salvation. And that is true. We learn, we grow. Of course, we grow in the knowledge. The more knowledge, even Solomon said, the more knowledge we know, the more that we're accountable for. Yes, we grow in our relationship, but our salvation is not by our own works. It's by God's free gift, his free gift of eternal life. God has provided salvation. Listen to this. Full, free, and forever. Nothing else do we need. Nothing more we should even want than just that free gift of salvation. And we have a lost world. There's over six, probably even more than that now. That's probably 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Probably over 7 billion people in this world. They say just only 2% of that know something at least of the scriptures about salvation. That's a small percentage. Now, that's not divine. That's none of that's divine. That's just a percentage that somebody, and they're different. They change. Everybody has their own opinion about that. But we have a lost world that God has sent his only begotten son for. It was a free gift for you and I, and God gave us a chance and ability to come to know Christ as our personal Savior. I think I was talking about this before. I don't think I finished it. But I was talking to a Christian this week. I think it might have been Brother Jim. We were sitting in the car. I said, aren't you thankful that God has done it all already? I wasn't looking for God when he came looking for me. I wasn't the one that made my relationship right with God. It was Christ that did that. You know, when I sin against God, that chastisement, the Holy Spirit of God convicting us when we sin against him, that's God doing the work. The Bible says that God gave us the Holy Spirit of God. He comes in and makes his abode in John chapter 14, 15 and 16. Gives us some distinction about the Holy Spirit of God there. But he said that he comes and makes our abode. That is the Holy Spirit of God to enable us. God is doing the work. God has created salvation for you or made this way even when sin broke that. Sin always brings confusion. Sin always brings destruction. Sin always brings death. Death to something. It always brings death to something. It happened in the Garden of Eden. It'll happen now. Even in a Christian life, it does death to something. Not death to salvation. We cannot lose our salvation. We are secured in Christ. But when we sin against God, we break that fellowship. We break that communion that we have with God. There's a death. There's a severance there that has to be renewed. And that's confessing yet again. When David in 2 Samuel chapter 12 committed that sin with Bathsheba, that restoration had to happen. He had to confess his sins again to God. Now, that's not for salvation. Salvation, once we confess our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are saved and we are secured for eternity. He seals us with the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in John chapter 3, in the end of the chapter, he seals us. He seals us into the day of redemption. And that is the free gift that God gives us, is Jesus Christ. So the first thing is, our salvation's by grace. The second thing is, our salvation's by, it is a free gift of God. Third thing, our salvation brings only God glory. Do you see that? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you know what our salvation brings? Only God the glory. If we can't work our way into heaven, that means we can't sit before God and say, God, I earned my way in here. I've worked, I have did the sweat of my brow, and I have worked, and I was doing good, and I didn't do any evil to anybody, and my good overweighs my bad, and because of that, I got myself into heaven. The Bible doesn't teach that, lest any man should boast. Our salvation brings only God the glory. Do you see that? We can't glory in ourselves. We only glory in God. We're supposed to bring God the praise and honor that he's due to his name. He's the one to be glorified and edified in our lives and through our lives and out of our lives. He desires to be glorified through us. And we need a set assurance in our heart that it's not us that's done anything. Yes, we had to confess, but because that God has brought us to the place where we saw our sin and we needed a Savior. And yes, we confessed our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but that wasn't by our works. It was by the grace of God, his unmerited favor to God, or from God to us, is God's grace, his salvation. And we ought to bring God the glory through our lives. God deserves it. He's provided the way. It's done. It is finished, Jesus says. Number one, our salvation is by the grace of God. Number two, our salvation is a gift from God. Number three, our salvation brings only God glory. Number four, our salvation produces good works. Let's see in the end of that passage in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. James says in James chapter 2, that just destroys all the philosophy. You know, Brother Paul, you're saying that my salvation is not by my works, but yet when I'm saved unto good works. Right. That's what the passage is saying. The passage is not saying that we work our way into heaven, that we get to earn our way into heaven, but once we have eternal life, that God in us produces a good work to work for him, to serve him, to do what he has called us to do in this world. It says in verse 15 of James chapter 2, if a brother or sister, and one say unto them, depart in peace, but is warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful for the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it not hath works, is dead being alone. James is not talking, and I know John Calvin believed that, or what he taught was that James was not inspired. James is inspired as much as the rest of the Bible. He thought what James was teaching was that our salvation is by works. That's not what James is teaching. James is teaching because we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God brings good works out of our life. We are to serve God. We are to live for God here on this earth. I always thought when I first got saved, or even early, I'm still a young Christian. Most of y'all look at me, I'm still a young Christian. Some of y'all been Christians for decades, a lot longer than I have. And y'all look at me, he's just young in the faith. And I am. And I hope I don't never stop growing. I hope I never stop to get to the place where, I have arrived. I know everything the Bible is teaching, because I don't. And I hope I never get that way. I hope I never let pride work in my heart that it hinders God from working in my life. I hope that I never get to that place. And by God's will and by prayer and by studying the scriptures, we find that it won't happen. We just got to stay close to God. But when I got saved, I always thought it was easier if God just took me to heaven. You know? When I first got saved, I didn't live in a Christian home. I didn't have Christian friends. I didn't have any of that. I didn't have a local New Testament church that I went to full time. I didn't have any of that. And just the trial after trial. I mean, it wasn't a day after I was saved. It was like the devil poured out his wrath upon me, you know, trying to get me to the place where I must not be saved because all this bad stuff. Everybody says, all the Christians say that, we just live in a bed of roses, but I've realized that a bed of roses have thorns in it, you know? It does. It does. The Christian life is not easy. You know, the devil, you're a target for the devil. The devil has a red bullseye on your life because you are not one of his anymore. You are now bought, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he wants to destroy you, utterly destroy you, to the fact that you can bring no praise to God. But I'm thankful that God protects us, and he wants us to work for him. I always thought it was just easier if we just, we get saved, we go up to heaven, and, you know, I don't have to live through this turmoil that this world brings or any of that. Man, I could just give. But I've realized in my Christian life that there's people that need to be saved. I've realized that God has left me here, that I can serve him, that maybe possibly somebody through my life. I've always heard all the preachers say this in Bible college. You might be the only Bible somebody reads. That is true. That is true. Remember the choir? I saw Jesus in who? You. That's why God has left us here. God has left us here for good works. You know what Jesus was teaching his disciples in Luke Let me make sure I get the right reference in Luke. Or in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, on the Mount of Olives, when he was teaching his discord amongst his disciples. Actually, if you go to the last end of, in the beginning of chapter 8 of Matthew, it teaches that there was a multitude of people. It wasn't just his disciples there listening to the Olivet discord, we people say, the scholars say. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God." Because of why? Because of the good works that God produces and brings out of our life. God wants us to surrender and give ourselves to Him that He may use us in this world. I always thought it would be easier just to die and go to heaven. Great. No more turmoil. No more of this distress here in this world. No more heartache. No more pain. No more suffering. No more physical. My knee hurts. I'm young. I know my knee hurts. No more physical pains. No more none of that. I could live literally in a bed of roses with no stems on it, just in a bed of roses in heaven. But God has left us here that we may serve Him from good works, not for our salvation. Understand that. Our good works does not produce our salvation. It comes after salvation. You know why a lot of people don't work for Christ? Because they truly don't know Him. John teaches in 1 John, they went out from among us, he says, because they were not of us. A lot of people put on a facade that they are Christians. They dress up, they put a nice fancy tie on, they put cufflinks and a nice suit on, they put a nice facade on, and they put this fake smile on like everything's happy, but inwardly they are so dead. Even Jesus told the Pharisees that they were dead man, they were dead bones, that there was no life in them. Christ came to give life and life more abundantly, the scriptures teaches, and He gives us that life. Who hath He quickened, made alive, who were dead in the trespasses and sins? God has changed our lives. He has given to us a new life. It was a free gift that God gave us because of His grace, and we ought to glorify God, and we ought to do good works to serve God. Not to produce salvation, but it's a product of salvation. It comes after salvation that we work for Christ, that we work for God and do on this earth what God has called us to do. God has put a calling upon every person that is a born-again believer in this world. God has given them the Holy Spirit of God. You know why God's still working in this world? You know how I know God's still working? Because the Holy Spirit of God's still here. It is finished. You know where Jesus went after said it is finished? He died, He was buried, He rose again. But He was seated at the right hand of the Father. Who came after? The Holy Spirit of God. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God indwelled men. Jesus promised that abode that would happen is through the Holy Spirit of God. And how I know that God is working in this world because His Holy Spirit is still here working. God is still saving the lost. God is still quickening His children to come back to Him and bringing that life into people that once we were once dead. It is a free gift. Do you understand that God has left us here for a purpose? He has called us to do something. He has called us to work for Him here on this earth. There's many things we can do. You know, I've heard people say, well, I'm old. I can't move around. I can't go door knocking. I can't do this, but you got time on your hands. Well, that's one thing I do have, Brother Paul. I got a lot of time on my hands. But God has given to us the internet. God has given to us a phone. We could be calling people. I remember a story. We were at college, and I had a friend in college that was witnessing to people through Facebook. I don't believe in Facebook. I don't promote Facebook. It's okay. But he was witnessing to people on Facebook. And he let a girl. Now, this is just a girl. But he was a guy, but there was no harm. He led a girl in Korea to the Lord from Facebook. And she's now faithfully serving in a church there in Korea. Can you believe that? Because God has left us here to do good works, to serve Him, that they may see that and they may glorify God because you are working for God. And we could do, God has providentially put things in our life every day that we have the chance and opportunity to encourage somebody, to help somebody. The problem is we have so much corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. because we're not working the works of edification, I mean the building up. We are complaining, we are discouraged, we are doing all these other things. We go to people and we complain about all our problems, and they have problems themselves. You know, we are not communicating Christ to people when we complain. We are not. God is wanting to work through us in our lives to produce good works. So our salvation is number one, by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That's a song we used to sing to kids on, well, we still do sing it to kids in the back and also kids on the bus. For by grace, our salvation is by grace. Our salvation is a gift. Our salvation glorifies God and God alone. And our salvation produces good works in our life. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you that our salvation is a free gift and you gave us eternal